From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. It is absolutely incredible to think that this is the first broadcast of June, the sixth month of the year. The year is flying by, and this is the most critical month of our fiscal year. It's the end of our fiscal year. And so I want to take a moment to speak to those who support the ministry prayerfully and financially. And as I do, I want to invite others to consider supporting us financially as well. The role that those who support this ministry have played in the ministry has been absolutely critical. And now it could be more crucial than ever before. Let me briefly explain just two reasons why I believe that your help today could be pivotal to the battles that we fight on an ongoing basis. Well, first, it will come as no surprise that CRI's mission of equipping Christians to think and to live Christianly is crucial. But what hasn't registered to so many believers is that this mission and all of our outreaches are arguably more important right now than ever before. I say that because current trends in the U.S. and Canada, indeed much of the Western world, point to a protracted civilizational suicide. And where once a nation largely grounded in biblical truth could effectively stem the tide, now biblical literacy has dangerously evaporated. Consider the fact that fewer than half of all American adults can name the four Gospels. Many professing Christians cannot even identify more than two or three of the disciples. More than half of all Americans cannot name five of the Ten Commandments. 12% of adults, well, they believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. And a survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that more than 50% thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. And a considerable number of respondents to one poll indicated that Billy Graham preached the Sermon on the Mount. Now, if the implications of this biblical illiteracy weren't so spiritually and culturally deadly, those statistics would be worth, well, a hearty laugh. Instead, they're enough to make caring Christians weep. And what really makes the current situation so acute is that just as the spiritual pillars of our nation are crumbling from the corrosive acids of secularism, a cultural storm, lots of hurricane force winds, is battering us on all sides. In the U.S., for example, only 3 of 10 Americans are now practicing Christians. And so strident are the efforts to silence the voices for traditional values that even hinting that you don't support same-sex marriage can evoke howls of bigotry and hate-mongering. And while the assaults on decency, civility, and our religious freedoms are reaching once unimagined levels, many Christians span a continuum from clueless to helplessness to wanting to make a difference, but simply not knowing how. And that takes me to the second reason your support this month, the month of June, is so vital, and why I'm praying that this month you can join other friends in making what we like to refer to as an ABCD gift, an above and beyond the call of duty gift, and that gift to help meet a pressing financial need. June needs to witness a genuine rally in giving if we are to avoid cutting back on the ministries so many depend on both here and around the world. You see, just as the value of vaccines increases during the outbreak of a deadly disease, so also, when assaults on our faith and freedoms mount, the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute become that much more crucial. And that in turn makes believers like you, those who are willing to stand up, to speak up, that much more critical. Very simply, there's nothing that CRI does that would be possible without partners like you. From broadcast to podcast, from the Christian Research Journal to CRI's vast website resources accessed from America to Zimbabwe. It's no exaggeration to say that these would all quickly disappear without friends like you. And again, because June is our second most important month of the year, next to December, the most important month of the fiscal year, because it's the month that ends the fiscal year, we're praying for a serious rally and outpouring of support. The thought of ever having to curtail any of our outreaches is a painful thought, especially when the need for these outreaches has never been greater. And because an increasingly militant, intolerant, and hostile secularism would love to silence us, I'll simply ask you to do all that you can this month to help turn up the volume. For all that your partnership means at this critical time, as we strive to stand courageously for life and truth, I am deeply grateful. Because of the challenge we're facing, I'm praying for a real outpouring of support and trusting I can hear from friends like you right away in our stand together for life and truth. Check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. First up today, John, listening in Neptune, New Jersey. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, thanks. My question, Hank, is I read in the Bible in, Psalms and Proverbs, you read a lot about what it says, fearing the Lord. Does it actually mean being afraid, or does it mean something different?
No, it means reverential awe, and you're right. Solomon talks often about the fear of the Lord. In fact, in Proverbs 1, verse 7, Solomon says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the fear of the Lord, the reverential awe of God, is the beginning of knowledge. And you think about the holiest man in Israel, Isaiah. He gets one glimpse of the glory of God, and he comes apart at the seams. Why? Because when we start to understand or get a glimpse even of who God is, everything changes. In fact, we're no longer fearing things in the traditional sense because we know that that God loves us so much that he has invited us into the fellowship of the Trinity. A God that loves us that much cares for every single detail of our life. There's not a single hair that falls from our head that he does not know about it. That reverential awe of God casts out fear, and as Solomon says, it is the beginning of knowledge. And that, on the other hand, those that do not have a reverential awe of God are those that despise wisdom and instruction. So again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord occurs 11 times in the book of Proverbs. So I'm very, very grateful that you referenced the book of Proverbs. To refuse to fear the Lord is to refuse to acknowledge the holy, the righteous, the loving character of our God, to not trust and serve and worship Him. Now, I should add, there's also a debilitating kind of fear, so words take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. So this debilitating fear is a fear which Christ rescues us from. In fact, the Apostle John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made in perfect love. So it's beautiful that the gospel writers tell us about a debilitating fear and how we're rescued from that debilitating fear. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, the resources I talk about on the broadcast you can find on the web at equip.org.
Every CRI outreach, our broadcast, podcast, website resources, the Christian Research Journal, and more is made possible only because of friends like you. Your partnership matters. What kind of impact has your partnership had? An impact for time and for eternity. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. www.truthmatters.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And back to the phone lines, we'll talk to John in New Albany, Indiana. Hi, John.
Hey, good afternoon, Hank. Thank you so much for your considered answers to our questions. I hope God continues to strengthen you, brother.
Thank you.
I have a, this is not a very weighty question, but it's found in Acts 11 that the prophet Agabus, when he prophesies about a worldwide famine to the saints, the considered decision among the apostles was to take up a collection from the outskirts of Judea and send money to Jerusalem. And it just seems a strange request. One, what would giving money do in restraining a worldwide famine or a severe famine? And two, it just seems that in some sense that either they, if there was going to be a worldwide famine, it would affect the people to whom Agabus was speaking just as much as the people in Jerusalem.
Yeah, it's an interesting passage. And one of the things I would say as a prologue to answering that question is we know for a certainty that Luke was a meticulous historian. That's pretty much universally acknowledged, even today by people who oftentimes doubt the credibility of the Bible. But in context, what we have is during this time, a particular time, a particular epoch in the first century, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And some of them were making a prophecy in the vein that you are talking about, including Agabus, who stood up and through the Spirit of God predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. And we are told that this happened during the reign of Claudius. And if you go to outside sources, there is corroboration for this. For example, Josephus, I think in Antiquities 20, refers to a famine that corresponds to this time period. So the import of this being communicated in Acts is that the disciples, and you alluded to this, each according to his ability decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. And this they did, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So this great famine, it took place somewhere around, I think, 44 through 51, if I recall. It begins in Judea, and then it spreads to Greece and to Italy. And the point of the passage is that the principle of giving each according to his ability is a principle that was applied in the church there, and it continues to be a principle that we ought to apply in the church in this epoch of time as well.
I agree. It just seems strange to me that money would be the remedy for a famine, and two, that if it were going to eventually work its way through the whole of the Roman world, that the money would be just as useful there where it was being collected in Antioch.
Well, yes, but here is a text in which we don't know all of the situations in the church. I mean, we simply don't have the details in terms of exactly what's going on. So there are people who have resources that can be used to help other Christians, and within that milieu, they would have known about it in a way that I couldn't off the tip of my tongue tell you about. I simply wouldn't know. I mean, I'm not saying it couldn't be known. I simply don't know.
I think it's interesting, the emotional component to our giving, and not to denigrate emotional appeals necessarily, but sometimes that's all we have to go by. I think one of the broader points there in the scripture is that there was such compassion that was exercised throughout the church that everybody was willing to consider their brother's burden and give a hand where they could. And yet, there in this particular instance, there was nothing but the word of a prophecy that directed the saints to give in such a manner.
Yeah, but remember that the text itself says that the disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers. So as they were able, as the Lord enabled them, they decided, purposed in their hearts to provide help. And this was for those living in Judea, and they did that. And so this is a historical narrative talking about something that actually happened, and there is an application for us in the present-day world as well.
Great. Yeah. Well, not to give an improper plug, but giving to CRI is a very tangible means of disseminating truth to our country and to people overseas. And it's something that my wife and I are going to consider doing as soon as I get off this phone.
Thank you so much, John. I appreciate your call. I wanted to mention an answer to a question that I think is important, and that is a question I got on Facebook, which is about whether or not the Bible states that a Christian must go to church in order to go to heaven. And this is a question that I desire very much to answer on today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Because when someone becomes a follower of Jesus Christ, they're baptized into Christ and they become members of his body. Now, it is within the body of Christ that we receive the graces by which we become by grace what God is by nature. We become gods by grace. We become gods by participation. This is not to say that we become gods in the sense of the Word of Faith movement, where God looks like us and we look like God. We are, again, not gods by nature. We are gods by participation, participating in the divine nature, as Peter puts it. It is within the body of Christ, again, that we receive the graces by which we become by grace what God is by nature. We emulate the early Christians who devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer within the community, the fellowship of the saints. And far from being born again, therefore, as rugged individualists, we are born into a body of believers of which Christ is the head. And therefore, as Hebrews commands us, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. I took the time a number of years ago to memorize Romans chapter 12. And the reason I did is this whole chapter is focused on how we are to use our gifts within the community of faith. Christ is building his church. He is perfecting his bride. He is perfecting the full complement of God's people expressed within a community of faith. Again, the church is the spiritual gymnasium. It is the place where we have the great privilege every single week to partake of the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his broken body, his shed blood, his pure body, his precious blood. And that gives us an energy to live our lives, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. When we partake of Christ, we partake of uncreated energy, for only God is uncreated. And in that circumstance, we experience something that's far beyond the biological. Not bios, but we experience a zoetic energy. This is the kind of energy that rewired the circuits of the apostles. Peter, James, John, on the Mount of Transfiguration, saw the resurrected Christ transformed. And when they saw the transformation of Christ, they themselves were transformed. Suddenly they recognized that there was a realm and a reality far beyond the biological sphere, and that they could partake in that reality. And ultimately, this is the power alone, that allows us to be reproducing disciple makers. Because on our own energy, we are going to eventually simply, well, just run out. But His energy, it's like plugging your laptop into a source that is inexhaustible. When we tap in to the spiritual graces available within the church, now we live not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth and equip Christians as authentic disciples of Christ. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.